What a great story. What an incredible story. If you were to go to all four Gospels and read that event in the four different Gospels, and then you brought all the details back together again, you would have a little bit longer, more concise, flowing story of the things that had happened. But this is ours for this morning from St. Luke, and so we're just going to stick with it. It is the story that our faith is based on. It is the crux of what we believe. Listen, if we don't have this story, we haven't got anything. If we don't have this story, we got nothing. We got someone who was born, lived, did a lot of cool stuff, died on a cross, stuck in the ground. If he never comes out, then we got nothing. But today, some women went to the tomb, and they were bringing all the stuff to wash him with and to anoint him with and to rewrap him with. And you know they came back? They came back. You know what they said? They said when they got there, the tomb was empty, and he was gone. He was gone. And two angels came and spoke to them and asked them an incredible question. And the question that the angels ask the ladies is the premise upon which our faith is built. It's the premise upon which we live our daily lives. That question sets the premise upon which we live our daily lives. It's the way it is. They were astonished. The angels showed up and they said, "Hey ladies, what are you doing here? What you got? What are you going to do with that anointing stuff? How come you brought those fresh linens? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you here? You look like you've come to anoint a dead body. You look like you've come to wash it, to anoint it, to wrap it all up and to stick it back into a tomb. But why would you look for the living? Why? Why?" The angels ask a logical, truth-bound statement. It holds to the absolute divine truth. The women are simply mistaken. He's not dead. He's alive. He's alive. And the angels just throw this out there at them to say, "Listen, what are you doing? What are you doing? What's up with all the stuff? You don't need any of it. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why?" But look at the ladies' actions. They were there. They knew he was arrested. They knew he was beaten. They knew he was crucified. They knew he died. They knew Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus went to Pilate for the body, was given permission to take down the dead body. They watched Nicodemus and Joseph wrap the body up, stick it in a tomb. They were there when the men came and rolled a stone and sealed it. Passover's over. So now it's time to come and do this grisly, awful, nasty task of rolling away the stone and taking care of a body that's been dead. And so their actions are logically correct. This is what you do to a dead body. You anoint it. You clean it. You wrap it. Stick it back in. Seal her up. So the angel's question is purely logical for them. And the lady's actions are purely logical for them. It's when these two come together that things go crazy. Now, I got something I want to show you. Men, I realize this may be a little out of your field. Fear not. I'll explain it to you. Now, men, I realize that you may not know what this is. This is a machine that you pull this handle back and you hit the switch and it makes this obnoxious, ear-piercing noise. And you just run it across the floor. I don't understand why we do that, but that's what you do with this. The most interesting thing about this is that it has this long rope on it. It's a mighty rope. And at the end of this rope is this thing. You take this and you stick it in a wall. And when you stick this in the wall, these two little silver things, they line up with two little silver things in the wall, and this incredible force of power comes surging through the wall all the way down the rope into that. And that makes that thing go. It's horrible. But there's so much power in the wall. How much power is in the wall? Well, men, listen. If you're not sure about that, when you go home today, you find yourself one of those old metal clothes hangers. And you scrape the end of it off real pretty and shiny. And then you get your wife, who probably knows exactly what this is for, and you ask her for a little pail of water. You put the pail of water close to this thing that's in the wall, and you stand in the water. Then you take your clothes hanger, and you just stick it into the wall. And there's so much power in this wall, you know what it'll do? It'll shoot you across the room like you've never been shot before. There's so much power in the wall, it's amazing. Now here's the problem. I've used one of these before. And in the most irritating thing you could ever use, this is in the wall, 30 feet away. I've got 6 inches left I got to do. And this is pulling tight. It's tight. It's tight. Now, a woman would simply turn it off, walk 30 feet, unplug it, walk 30 feet, which is really 60 feet that way, plug it back in, and continue to do what? Open it and vacuum. But a man knows that if he pulls on this just right, he can force this cord to stretch 6 inches and get to where he wants it to be until it just can't go any further and it stops. And so he goes back 30 feet trying to figure out what has happened to the machine. This is still in the wall. This is still in the wall. But it's a little loose. It's not as tight as it was. And so he puts it in a little further, and the machine comes back to life. And he wiggles it out, and it stops. And this has a man amazed for hours. Doesn't take much, does it? This is connected to Christian disconnect. See, we're all good Christians. We're all good Christians. We all go to church every Sunday. Have a good time. And we're tapped into the power. Because we think we go to church every Sunday. We tap into God's power. And the cord is in the wall with the power of God surging through it right into our lives. But the problem is the cord gets a little tight. And men, we tend to pull on that baby just a little. And even though it's in the wall but it's disconnected, we're still over here trying to vacuum. We're over here trying to... But there's no power. It's in the wall. There's no power. It's a disconnect. We've allowed ourselves to be disconnected from the power that gives our lives power and presence and drive and ambition and love and grace and mercy. We've disconnected from that. It looks okay. I still go to church every Sunday. I must be okay. But nothing's working like it used to. Why? Because we're suffering from a disconnection. And this story is a great story about a disconnection. The women's actions, they demonstrate a belief through their human reasoning. The women believe what? Dead body, it's our job. Go anoint it, wrap it, stick it back in. Their actions demonstrate belief through human reasoning. The angel's question demonstrates belief through faith and divine truth. He's not here. He's risen. Y'all didn't need to bring the stuff. You can't do anything with that stuff. You don't need it. these two come together. And they're coming together for the women. They brought the stuff. The angels tell them you didn't need to bring it. And so get with me. Their human logic, their brains are saying to them, he's dead. And the angels, the divine truth says, hey, he's not dead. No, he's not. He's alive. He's not dead. He's alive. And so there's this tension as to which one they will embrace. Will they go with human logic? Or will they go with divine faith? Or better yet, will they let the two come together and balance them somehow? Balance what they believe by what they understand and what they believe in their hearts. Why would you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's alive. That is just a divine statement of truth. And the scriptures are full of divine statements of truth. And every time we hear one, it forces us to think about what we believe in our heads with logic and reasoning. And what does the word say about divine truth? And it forces us to bring these two together somehow and make sure that baby is plugged into that wall all the way so we can continue to get the power to make the tension right. And we can get our way through that. Now, the angels knew that the ladies were going to have a hard time with this. And so the angel said, do y'all remember what he told you back in Galilee? It's the Son of Man must suffer, die, and 3 days later be resurrected. Y'all remember that? The key word is remember. The angel said to the women, ladies, put your stuff down. Relax. Get over the fact we've scared you to death. Just relax. Sit on those stones over there. Take a deep breath. Count to 10. Then we want you to remember. Think. Think, ladies, think. Think of all the things he ever told you. Think of all the things he ever showed you. Think of all the things he taught you. Think of all the meals you had with him. Think, think, think. Get beyond what your reasoning is telling you about an open tomb and nobody and just the death rags and he's gone and you think he's stolen. Get over that. Stop it. Just get away from it and think. Just think, think, think. Think of everything you ever acquainted with him. And it forces them to go back into that tension. It forces them to go back where divine truth and human logic collide with one another. And the angels want them to go back to that so they can think. And you know what they did? They thought. And you know what happened when they thought? They remembered. They remembered. They remembered everything. They remembered dinner with Lazarus when he was pulled from the tomb. They remembered everything. And they were so excited. Because now, as they begin to remember the movement and the action of God in their lives, they look into this empty tomb and their thinking is, if God can move in my life the way I remember, then this tomb has got to be empty. And he's got to be alive. He's got to be alive. And so they go back and they told him. They told the disciples, this is the craziest thing, you guys. He's alive. And the disciples said what? Wow, great. Let's all go have Easter dinner. No. They didn't believe him. These words seemed to them like an idle tale. Listen, the words they spoke were their testimony. It was the witness, the testimony of the women who had just seen the angels and the empty tomb. Their human logic had been rattled to pieces by what the angels just said to them. And then they go back to the men with a testimony, with a witness. It belongs to them. The men cannot say to them it's not true because it's their testimony. It's their witness of what they've experienced with God in their lives. It's their testimony. They give it to the men, and the men listen to it. And they're still thinking about the vacuum cleaner. Now, why does it shut on and off when I wiggle the cord? But they're thinking, and they're thinking, and they're thinking. And then they say, hey, you know what? This sounds like an idle tale. You know what an idle tale is? Idle means something that is inactive, unemployed. That's a great definition. You know what unemployed is? It does not work, and it does not bring anything back into return. It's something that does not work, and therefore does not bring anything back that is worthy. It's unemployed. It doesn't work. A tale is a fictional telling. So you put the two of these together, and the men heard the testimony. They could see the passion and the excitement in the women's voices. They could see it all, and they said, this kind of sounds like a fabricated telling of one sort or another. It just doesn't work for us. I don't think so. See you, ladies. Have a great day. Take that stuff with you too, would you? And can you come back and finish with that machine for us too later on? It doesn't work. So see ya. Because their human logic just would not let them grasp the testimony of the women. Because they saw him crucified. They saw him put into a tomb. They heard everything. And this is too much for them to comprehend. It's too hard in their heads logically to embrace faith and divine truths and let them come together. They just can't do it. But one of them, Peter heard their words. He heard a testimony. He heard a witness. He was at the crucifixion. He knew what it was like. He heard it. He saw it. He watched them put the body in the tomb. He was one of the ones, maybe helped roll the stone. He saw the whole thing. But these women come back with this testimony, this witness, and he heard it. And it takes him back into this tension. The text says that he left the tomb and he went home. But he was amazed. You know why he was amazed? Because he had to think. When the ladies get to the door, Peter's thinking is, he's dead. They hear the testimony, and now Peter's thinking is, And it brought the two together. His logic and the faith and the testimony of women come together. And he begins to think. He begins to think. Just like the women began to think. Now Peter begins to think. And he's thinking about all the stuff. And the text says he was amazed by what happened. Doesn't say he was amazed by what he had seen. Because if he's only amazed by what he has seen, it's so restricted. It simply means that an empty tomb and some death cloths on a slab amazed him. But the text says he was amazed by all that had happened. Well, that's the totality of the entire event. And it goes further than that. He could be thinking of the day that he was fishing and Jesus said, "Hey, Simon, come here. I want to make you a fisherman of men." He could be thinking of the teachings, the miracles, all the time they spent together. He's thinking about all of that stuff. He's thinking about his own personal experiences. Were they all idle tales? Was it an idle tale when Jesus sent the disciples on the boat across the Sea of Galilee? He said, "Hey, I'll be with you in a little bit. I'm going to go pray." He goes walking across the water, scares them to death. And Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, bid me come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "What? Water's fine. Come on in. Love to have you." And Peter comes out of the boat, and he's walking on the water. Was that some kind of idle tale? Is that something that didn't happen? No. He remembers. He's thinking. He remembers. He walked on water. Jesus spoke the word. He walked on water. They go to Caesarea Philippi. Jesus says, "Who do people say I am?" And they say, "Oh, John the Baptist, Elijah, all that stuff. Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "Oh, you are the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah." Was that just some kind of idle tale? Was that just something he made up, he dreamed? No. No. It was real for him. Jesus spoke. Peter responded, God moved in Peter's life, and he remembers these things. He remembers these things. Jesus said to him, "You know, I'm going to call you Peter, the rock. And it's upon this rock I'll build my church." Did he dream that up one night? No. It's part of Caesarea Philippi. It's true. It's not an idle tale. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus sends them out two by two. Go on out and see what you guys can do. A couple days later, they come back telling all the healings, all the stories, all the incredible things these disciples had done. Was that some sort of an idle tale? Did these guys just come back making up? No, it was true. It was true. It was the movement of God in their lives, and they realized it. Jesus said, "We're going back to Jerusalem." They said, "Oh, they could get us into a mess of trouble." He said, "Don't worry about it." Peter said, "I'll go with you. I'll go. I'm not afraid. I'll go." And Jesus said, "You'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. Peter, come on. What's wrong with you?" And he did. And he ran out of the garden, weeping, because he had betrayed his Lord. Was that an idle tale? No. All these things are what he's remembering. All these things are the movement of God in his life. So for Peter, these cannot be an idle tale. And if these things are true, if God says this through Jesus and it's true, then everything he says through Jesus is true. Everything he said through Jesus is true. So this tomb cannot be an idle tale. There's only one answer for Peter. He's risen. He's risen. And now Peter, as he thinks, he's amazed by it. What about his disconnect? No, Peter's not disconnected. Peter ran to the wall and he plugged that baby in there so tight. He got a bunch of duct tape and he taped that thing up with duct tape so it'd never come out because he didn't ever want to lose the power of God in his life. He didn't want to ever be out here 30 feet away just vacuuming with no power. And so he made sure it stayed plugged in because Christ became his rock. Christ became the core of his being. Christ became his Lord, his Savior, his peace, his love, his hope, his healing. Christ became everything to him because he remembered. He remembered. And he was amazed. Just amazed. So what about us? What about this Christian disconnect thing? And us? Can you remember any of the times, many of the times, all of the times, God has moved through your life in a way you never thought possible? You needed something, you prayed for something, sometime later, poof, there it is. You needed a job and a job fell from the sky. You needed help with something and help fell from the sky. And you know it was God who did that for you. Someone you loved was sick and they were healed. And you know it was God who brought the healing. You know it was God who brought the healing. You needed something and it came. Can you remember that? Can you just take human logic, put it over here, and just stay right here with faith and think and think and think and then slowly let logic and thinking come together? Can you do that? Yes. And will we be amazed? Oh, baby. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Because our minds, by the power of the Spirit, will start telling us all these things that God has done in our lives. And we'll be amazed by all that has happened in our lives. By the touch and the power and the presence of God. And we will be amazed. We'll say, you know what, that tomb? It's empty. It's not an idle tale. We believe it with all of our hearts and all of our thoughts. Christ is the core of our being. When we think back and we remember what God has done for us by the power and the promise of his word, then we know that everything he promises, all the words are correct and all the words are valid and they are true. And so when we come together this morning, it's all about an empty tomb. Ain't no idle tale going on in here. It's all about an empty tomb. But what if you've never thought about that? What if you've never thought about the things God's done in your life before? What if you just thought it was you? Because you're so good at what you do or whatever. Or lucky. You've just been lucky. And you never thought maybe God had something to do with it. What if he did? Then that shows you. That's your testimony. That's your story. That's what you believe. That God did, God said, God moved, and he did, and now it's your testimony. Just as the women have a testimony, you have a testimony. And it's yours to do what with? Share. It's yours to share. Why? Because believe it or not, there's a whole lot of folks who think it's just an idle tale. Even today, there's many folks who believe it's just an idle tale. Something somebody made up, wrote it in a book, doesn't mean squat. But we know it's not. Because God has moved in our lives. And what he's done for us is the truth. And it makes the grave the truth as well. It's not an idle tale. It will never be an idle tale. Never. Father, we love you so much. There's not a person in this room to whom your hand has not touched their lives. There's not a person in this room probably doesn't have a testimony who can remember you moving in their lives. Some of us don't remember as good as we used to, so we need your Spirit to awaken us and to help us recall. But let us stand with absolute conviction and assurance that what you promised and what you've delivered in our individual lives is the evidence of what you promised through an empty tomb. That you're not dead. You're alive. And you, by the power of your Spirit, are alive within us. And you help us in our times of disconnect. You remind us to go put the plug in tighter. You remind us that we're 30 feet away from the power source on our own with our logic, but not doing much with it. Because we've lost the attachment to the power. You remind us, and we'll race back and fix it with you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory for an empty tomb this morning. For he is alive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.